When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
First of all, I want to welcome all of you to our webinar. This theme that we have this month in our community is nonverbal communication. So that's our focus this month. And so in the next few webinars, including this one, you will notice that we are going to be looking at how we can improve our communication through nonverbal communication skills as well. So I'm really excited to share this content with you today. And for those joining live, I would love for you to participate in the interactive chat and we will go from there. So if that sounds good to you, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Okay, so today we are looking at specifically, we are looking at body language and decoding body language because that is part of nonverbal communication, right? So we want to make sure that we're not just aware of what others are doing with their body language, but what we're doing as well, so that we can make sure that we're putting our best foot forward, that we are in charge of the way we communicate and we are on top of it and there are no surprises and it's not unclear in terms of the message that we want to convey and how we want to express ourselves. So before we go to that, I want us to dive into the fascinating world of nonverbal communication because understanding this hidden language, right, what we can think of as nonverbal communication as a hidden language, will transform how you relate to others and also how you project yourself in every situation, right? Both in those casual scenarios, you know, just in life, and also in those professional scenarios that we really want to nail, that we really want to, you know, do well in. Okay, so what's nonverbal communication? Well, it is the communication cues beyond just the spoken words, right? So that includes things like facial expressions, micro expressions, gestures, things like hand gestures, posture, eye contact, your tone of voice, the space, proxemics, right? Touch. So we had a challenge in our last month's challenge that people have been doing and are wrapping up right now, but you can still do it, is the expressive tones challenge, the tone of voice challenge. And I highly recommend you check that out because that is part of the nonverbal communication, but we did that separately so that you really get, laser focus and attention on tone of voice, because I know that's one of the topics that a lot of people, you know, have questions about and ask me about, in addition to nonverbal communication that we're talking about today. But that's part of this, you know, nonverbal communication. You can think of it that way. And research is showing us that about 60 to 90% of meaning that we glean from communication and messages is actually conveyed through our nonverbals. Isn't that crazy to think about? Because a lot of people get caught up on the words they use and, oh, am I fluent enough in this language? Or am I eloquent enough when I speak? The words I use, my word choice, right? People get really bogged down by that. And that doesn't make up as much as we think it does. So from that perspective, you also, yes, you do want to have high quality verbal communication, But it just, it doesn't end there, right? There's that whole other part of the equation, which is the nonverbal communication as well. Not to mention the active listening component to communication additionally. Okay, so what are some of the benefits of improving your nonverbal communication? Well, rapport building, building trust, revealing unspoken feelings, right? You can sense when somebody is feeling a certain way, even though their words might say something else. It also impacts, it strengthens the impact of your own message as well. So you really want to aim for that, the congruence, right, between what you're saying and how you're saying it and what your body language is saying. You want those all to be at the same level, as opposed to what you're saying is very different to how you're saying it, is very different to the way you're expressing it with your posture and your eye contact and your nonverbal skills. So that's something that I really want you to take away from this. And I don't want you to think, you know, nonverbal communication is not some mysterious skill, right? This nebulous concept that we can't quite put our finger on. It's actually not that at all, right? It's something that we do constantly. You're doing it right now. I'm doing it right now. So with this webinar, I want to lay the foundation of how we can be more intentional and effective with our nonverbal communication, because that's going to help us with our overall communication, both at work and in life. And for many of you, that is the goal. That's why you're here. Okay. So I want you to take a look at this. This really outlines it very nicely. This is the 738-55 rule. And essentially, you can see that the biggest portion of this is body language, right? Meaning the communicative power is a combination of all of these elements, right? We have vocalics. You can think of that as tone of voice, you know, what you're doing with your voice. Then you have the verbal aspect of communication, which is the words you utter. And then you have body language. So as you can see, body language makes up for a lot of the communication power that we actually have, which might come as a surprise to you. Because again, I think a lot of people are under the impression that the biggest part of this, you know, pie chart, right, is the words, are the words that we utter. And actually, that's not the case at all. And so Professor Maribian is the one who kind of came up with this rule, we call it in communication, the 738-55 rule, so that we can see just how important nonverbal communication is and vocalics. And again, those two are kind of under the same umbrella. So very, very interesting. Okay, so in terms of posture, right, maybe this is something that you pay attention to, right, in terms of how you stand up, how you present yourself, both in an online setting and also in a face-to-face offline setting. When you think about good posture, right, we think about an open stance, right, that's open and confident and your head's up, your shoulders are back, you're relaxed, you're not like super stiff. And then if we contrast that with closed and defensive posture, you know, your arms are crossed. You might be a little hunched over with your shoulders, maybe turned away, not facing the speaker or facing the camera, right? If I like presented to everybody like this, that would be very different, right, than what I'm doing right now. So these are things to keep in mind. And you might say, oh, of course, yeah, posture, of course. But pay attention to what you're doing. Do you have more of that open, confident body language posture, or is it closed and defensive? And does it change throughout the day, depending on who you talk to or what kind of meetings you go to or the places you find yourself, right? Does that change? Does the setting and the communication event and the speech act change the way you carry yourself? In terms of power and dominance, right, we're thinking of more of like an expansive posture. You're taking up space. You're not afraid to say, I'm here. I'm taking up space, not just with your voice, but with your body language. So wide stance, putting your hands on your waist, right? Like a Wonder Woman pose or Superman pose, right? This too, when you walk into a room and you show I'm here, people are going to treat you very differently than as opposed to you coming in, walking in like this, right? Trying to take up as little space as possible. So things to think about, right? Things to think about. And you know, our posture is so important. It cannot be overlooked because it sends very strong messages, very strong signals about how we feel about ourselves, how confident we feel in that moment, how confident we feel about the situation we're in, even if we're not confident, right? So I do want you to be mindful about how you carry yourself, how you comport yourself. It impacts both your internal state, right? So how you treat the situation you're in, and also how you're perceived by the people you're communicating with. Okay. So if you don't feel confident, the last thing you want to do is be showing you're unconfident, you're lacking confidence, because that's going to send first and foremost a signal to your brain and reinforce that message of, yeah, not confident, not confident, not confident. And then it's also going to project that to other people. And guess what? People are not going to be as receptive to your message as you would like them to, right? So these are very important, not just for the internal message that you're sending to your own brain, but also to what you're sharing with others. Okay, so here you have an example of the open confident posture and the closed defensive posture. And if I could change one thing about this image on the right, he would be a little bit more hunched over, right? A little bit more like closed in. So something to think about. What's your posture like right now? Are you hunched over at your desk or over your phone? Are you sitting, you know, with nice open posture, showing confidence, feeling confident? Take a body scan. Okay. So then we've got gestures and their meanings. So you can think of some common gestures like pointing, open palms, hand shrugs, steepled fingers like that. You know, some people when they're making a point or at a meeting, right? Something like that. And then we've got emblems, which are gestures with culturally specific meanings. So thumbs up, okay sign, right? In some cultures, these are okay. These are appropriate. These are fine. They're mainstream. They're universal within that culture. In other cultures, they might be taboo. They might have a very different meaning from what you're used to. So these are things to be aware of, especially when you're interacting in cross-cultural settings with cross-cultural people, right? Or interculturally between cultures. So for example, if you are in a meeting and there are people from all over the world, you want to be mindful of what kind of hand gestures you're doing, because in your culture, that might be fine and perceived as okay, but it might be an insult in someone else's culture. So when in doubt, just be more reserved with your hand gestures and those kinds of emblems you use. And if you can, you know, if you're spending time in a certain culture and you want to, you know, acclimate to it and learn the language and learn the culture, then by all means, ask, do your research, you know, figure out what are the appropriate gestures so that you don't offend anybody and that nobody misconstrues your message. And then we've got illustrators, which are gestures that enhance verbal messages. So for example, when you want to say, oh, you know, I went on a fishing trip last weekend and I caught a fish this big. I'm not kidding. It was this big, right? So that's a way of kind of, you know, that's that congruence we were talking about earlier, right? So even if somebody asks you for directions and you're like, oh, where is the coffee shop? Do you know where it is? You say, oh, it's straight and then to the right. So head straight down that road and then to the right. So you're showing again, like as if you're in the airplane, right? When they show you the exit signs and this and that, those are illustrators because they help illustrate your message and get that point across. So gestures can add emphasis, they can reveal emotions, and they can clarify your point, which is great, right? Those are all wonderful things. But you do have to remember, and I caution you, that certain gestures can be easily misinterpreted in different contexts. So in different cross-cultural contexts, cultural contexts, industry-wide contexts. So you always want to do your homework and figure out, okay, I'm not sure about this gesture. My understanding is it means this, but I don't want to offend anybody and, you know, do anything wrong here. So I'm going to double check. Okay. Believe it or not, eye contact is also part of our body language, right? Which makes total sense. So when you have strong eye contact, which is something that I really encourage you to strive for, that signals confidence. It shows interest. It shows that you're attentive. It shows that you're paying attention. You're engaged. When you're averting your gaze, right? Somebody's gaze, you're not looking them in the eye. You might be looking at their shoes or your shoes or to the right or to the left or wherever, anywhere but their eyes. That can signal discomfort. It can signal lack of confidence. It can signal disinterest. Like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to talk to you about this. It could even sometimes indicate deception, meaning you're deceiving somebody, right? You're hiding something. Maybe you're not being upfront and honest. So that, again, that's the opposite of building rapport, which we don't want to do. And then, of course, we've got cultural considerations as always, right? So, you know, what is construed as appropriate in one culture in terms of eye contact will be different in another culture. So in some cultures, like in the American context, we want to look people in the eye, right? Whether they are the president of a company or from the janitorial staff or somebody on your team, doesn't matter. Everyone's equal. We look everyone in the eye and show them that respect. Okay. And it also shows that confidence and that interest and that, again, that human respect. So we treat this as very important. That's for us as Americans and in the American cultural context, eye contact. Okay. However, in some other cultures, it's not appropriate to look somebody in the eye. If they're your boss, for example, you might not look them in the eye. You might be looking down at, you know, downward. So again, this is something that you want to be mindful of. Your eyes are incredibly expressive. Some people call them the window to your soul. That's a beautiful metaphor. So you want to use eye contact to connect with your audience, be it online, offline, in person, not in person. But you also want to be mindful not to overdo it. We're not trying to stare at somebody in the eye, right? That can also make somebody feel uncomfortable. So that's also kind of intimidating if you think about it. If somebody just locks eyes with you the whole time, very, very intimidating and uncomfortable. So what we want to strive for is balance, 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 as always. Now we have personal space and touch. So I mentioned it earlier, proxemics. It's the study of how we use space to communicate. In the American cultural context, if you don't know somebody very well, or if you're in like a work setting, like think of it as a networking event or a professional event, or you're at some other type of like professional function, you want to stand about at an arm's length distance from somebody. Anything closer than that will make that person feel uncomfortable, right? Now, this is in the American cultural context, but in another country or culture, people might stand closer to you. And if you are coming from an American background, you might not be used to that. And you might feel like it's invading your personal space, but that's how things are done in that culture. So very interesting, isn't it? So if I've been and lived in cultures where there's that distance, and then where there's that closeness. And yes, it's an adjustment, but you do have to realize that that's also a way of communicating. And that closeness can be a sign of respect and connection. Just as in other cultures, that distance can also be seen as a sign of respect. Like, I'm respecting your personal space kind of thing. The power of touch, right? Tapping somebody on the back and saying a job well done, right? That might convey comfort, support, could convey dominance or affection depending on the context. So it can mean something different depending on the context and how it's paired with words, what you say it with, in other words, how it's phrased, and things like that. So the space that we keep around ourselves, right, sends signals. And so you want to be mindful of personal bubbles and cultural norms. Touch, while it is powerful, must be used with caution, okay, and awareness of boundaries. So you wouldn't be doing this probably with people that you're not close with, or people that are more of a professional, that you have a professional connection with, but with, you know, with your soccer team, you might high five, you might pat them on the shoulder, or tap them on, you know, the back or whatever. And that's one thing. But again, boundaries. And then if we want to put it all together, you want to think about congruence and incongruence. So when your verbal and your nonverbal messages match, right, there's that alignment, there's that congruence, you're perceived as more authentic and trustworthy, because what you're saying and how you're saying it, in terms of how you vocalize it with your tone of voice, as well as with your body language, your micro expressions, your hand gestures, all of the above, shows that you're authentic and you're trustworthy. Whereas the incongruence, right, that mismatch, causes those mixed signals to start to arise. And that might cause some confusion and maybe even some distrust, right? Because if you're, for example, you're saying, I'm so happy. Or, oh, I'm really sad today. I'm really, really sad today. How weird is that, right? So that's an exaggeration, because I wanted to make a point. But, you know, you want to strive for that congruence, that alignment. And of course, as always with communication, and as a general rule of thumb with things in general, context is key, right? So always interpret nonverbal cues within the situation that you find yourself in situ, right? In that situation, as well as within the cultural context and the cultural setting that you find yourself in. And you know, nonverbal communication is not about single signals in isolation. We gather meaning from everything, right? The whole picture, from the body language, the tone of voice, the words we utter, the word choice, the environment, and any other contextual cues and clues we have. So the goal should be to strive for congruence, for that alignment, but also always be aware of context. That will serve you well. Okay, so let's look at some practical exercises to improve self-awareness of your body language, because we don't walk around with cameras on us all day and then get to analyze what we do and say and how we did it and how we said it. So that's something that, you know, we need a little bit of introspection on, perhaps, particularly if you are wanting to improve yourself, improve your communication, improve your nonverbal communication. So the first thing I would recommend is the body language journal. Okay, so this is an exercise you can do right after this webinar. So maybe you have like a small notebook that you can carry around with you, or use a notes app on your phone or your device. And then throughout the day, just whenever you have a minute, jot down any observations that you perceive about your body language during different interactions or situations. For example, oh, when I walked into the coffee shop this morning, I was, you know, really confident and positive, and I had my posture was really good. Oh, but then when I went and I had that performance review with my manager, I didn't feel as confident. I felt like maybe my posture was a little bit closed off. Right. So being mindful of this is very important. What did you do with your posture, your gestures, your eye contact? How did you use space? Right. What were the proxemics like? And then afterwards, reflect on that. So do your nonverbals align with how you want to be perceived? Are there any patterns that emerge? Like in certain scenarios with certain people, you are more confident, whereas with other types of situations and other types of people, talking about maybe more serious topics in a more high stakes setting, it's a different way, right? So start to paying attention to those patterns, because that's going to help you decipher, you know, how you are going to be ultimately in command of your nonverbals and your verbals and seek that alignment. Then we've got a video analysis. So you can record yourself. Maybe you're giving a short presentation. Maybe you're having a conversation. Maybe you're sitting in a waiting room waiting for an appointment, right? Analyze the recording and first do it without the sound. So you can just pay attention to your body language. What's your body saying? And then watch it a second time with the sound so that you can see the pairing of sound, tone of voice, you know, like the words you utter as well, in addition to the body language. And then take some notes. What are some of the strengths that you see? Are there any distracting habits or any nervous gestures? I don't have a pen on my desk right now. I do. Do you kind of like play with your pen when you're talking to people? Right. I sometimes see people do this, or they're like, I can't do it, but they like turn it around and around and around, right? That can be, that might feel good to you. Like you're releasing some nervous tension, but to the person talking to you, that can be very distracting, right? So is there anything like that that's happening? Pay attention to it. And in our group coaching sessions, we record the sessions, which is super important to see not only progress throughout each of the sessions, but that way you also see your nonverbals and your verbals. You know, you get to analyze, in addition to the feedback we provide and what we do, the feedback in the sessions themselves, you also get to analyze what you're doing. And it makes the learning process that much stronger. So it's always a good idea to be able to have those. Yeah, so that's great. And then we've got mindful movement. So think about just a simple activity that you might do any day, every day, walking, brushing your teeth, maybe doing your workout, making a cup of coffee, and perform that activity while you're being fully present in your body. So you're not distracted with something on your phone. You're not talking to somebody, you know, as you're doing those activities. Notice things like your posture, tension in your muscles, in your facial expression, like in your facial muscles as well, hand gestures, any unnecessary movements. And this will help you build awareness on how your body operates when it's on autopilot. So in other words, when you're just going through the motions without actually being present and thinking about, oh, how I feel, how do I feel right now while I'm doing this, right? So I really encourage you, or the next time you get up and go over to, you know, the water dispenser and get your water, how do you do it? Are you mindful? Are you fully present in your body? What's going on?
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Okay. So that's another exercise. And then the expressive mirror. So you're in front of a mirror, you're practicing portraying different emotions, just using only your face and body. Okay. So start with some basic emotions, joy, sadness, anger, frustration, etc. And then move on to more nuanced feelings. Okay. So how does your body shift and change to convey those different states as you're navigating and moving in between, weaving your way through those different feelings? What does your face do? What does your body do? How do you feel internally? And then look at that in the mirror and make that connection with what you see yourself project and how you feel as you're doing that. Because a lot of time when we're talking and we're doing things, we don't see what we're doing, right? When you're talking to people, right? Unless you're doing that, unless you have a mirror in front of you every time you interact with people, which I highly doubt, or a camera following you around all day, which I don't know if that's you, you don't really know that if you what you do, right? And how you say it and how you do it. So this is a good exercise to start to build that self-awareness. Okay, so a lot of different exercises for you to do here. I really encourage you, maybe just start with one this week, focus on that, and then next week try another. And the more you practice it, the better you'll become. So just start small, right? Don't feel like you need to focus on all of these exercises at once. Focus maybe on one aspect of your body language at a time, like choose proxemics. Okay, I'm gonna work on, you know, space, personal space. That's a great one to work on, whatever, or eye contact, or, you know, more confident body language. And then, of course, I always say this, be kind to yourself, right? Be patient with yourself. Change takes time, particularly if it's the change that we want to last, right? That lasting change as opposed to the ephemeral kind of change, which is not really change. So, you know, body language habits are a lot of the times unconscious, right? We just do it. We don't realize what we're doing. So it's not about judging yourself or judging others. It's about understanding and being more aware of what you do so that you are in control of the message you want to convey and how you best can convey that. And if there's congruence, if there's alignment there, so that people take you seriously, so that people see you as a credible, competent individual, so that they see you as professional, so that they see you as a trustworthy friend, right? So many different, across all different communication contexts, this is so important. And like I said, you know, practice makes progress. So the more mindful you are as you do these activities, the better it will be, the more intentional and thoughtful your nonverbal communication will become. So lots and lots and lots to think about. And you're off to a really good start. If you want to know about more of what we do at Exploring Academy, then you can visit academy.exploring.co. You can read member testimonials, what members have to say about being a member. You can learn more about our plans. You can choose the plan that's right for you. And you can find out what makes us different, what sets us apart, and more things like that. So yeah, just go over to academy.exploring.co. And if you're in the community, then you can go into the webinars space and you'll see an opportunity to upgrade your membership and learn about the plans. Perfect. So that's it for me today. So wonderful to see you all here. I hope you learned a lot. And again, be patient with yourself. This takes time. This is a lot of great work that you're, you know, doing here, that we're doing together. And the fact that you showed up to this tells me that you are putting yourself first and you're investing in yourself and you're taking all of this seriously, because it is transformational in terms of how you communicate with others, how you communicate internally with yourself, and the impact it has on your happiness, on your social life, on your longevity, on your professional skills, on, you know, everything that we do in life, because it all comes down to communication, connection, community. Beautiful things. Beautiful, beautiful things. All right. Well, thank you again for joining me. I appreciate your time and I will see you very soon. Bye for now, everybody.